Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And once again, we're going to be looking at beginning in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to open your word. We pray that your spirit would teach us, Lord, and help each of us, Lord, Father, to apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at this passage a couple of times already. We spent some time looking at the concept of discipleship, and then we also spent some time looking at what it means to follow Jesus. And we noted that while some are using those expressions as the gospel message, you get saved by following Christ. And we noted that salvation in any dispensation has always been by grace through faith plus nothing else. So this is a different kind of a call that we're going to look at, and we want to consider it in the context in which it's found tonight. When the Lord Jesus came upon Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and he called them to follow him. So the question is, what does that mean? Now in this context, in Matthew chapter 4, we saw that in verse 13, the Lord Jesus had just left his hometown of Nazareth. Actually, he didn't leave on his own volition. He was chased out. They tried to push him off the cliff. They didn't appreciate what he was teaching. And from Nazareth, he went to Capernaum, a little east and north of there, right on the Sea of Galilee. And he set up his home base of operation for his Galilean ministry there in the village or the city of Capernaum. This was his new hometown. And so we read in verse 18 that Jesus now is seen walking on the Sea of Galilee. Now, if it's helpful to you, it may not be helpful, but if it's helpful to you, in the New Testament there are four different names for the Sea of Galilee. There's the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Kinnereth, Lake Gennesaret, and Sea of Tiberias. They all refer to the same body of water. So I think it's helpful to know that as we read through the Gospels, because the different names appear in the different Gospels. But Matthew pictures the Lord Jesus walking by that body of water, whatever we want to call it. He calls it the Sea of Galilee. And that would have been nothing unusual for the Lord. He lived in that town right on that lake. Perhaps the Lord walked along the Sea of Galilee many, many times, thinking and meditating and praying. But on this day, he was on a mission. On this day, the Lord Jesus had something very special in mind for this walk. And as he walked along the Sea of Galilee, he came upon two men, Peter and Andrew. And these two men were casting their nets into the sea. Now, this was nothing unusual either. The Sea of Galilee was heavily filled with fishing vessels almost all the time. It was a very common thing to see men fishing and casting out their nets. There would have been many other fishermen and boats out on that lake at the time. But the text mentions two men in particular, Peter and Andrew. And he tells us that they were both fishermen. Now, this is kind of a beautiful scene here, if you could envision it. The Lord Jesus walking along the edge of this lake, this large lake. And there would be many boats out in the water. There would be men still fishing. Capernaum was a very busy place, a busy area, a big fishing town. And as the Lord is walking, he catches two men, his eyes catch two men who are casting out a large net. And their goal as fishermen was to pull up out of the water as many fish as they could possibly get. I think an artist with a good eye could make a beautiful painting out of this. But what's most important here that we want to focus on is the call. In verse 19, Jesus said to these men, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And as we noted last time, this was not a call to salvation. This was a call to service. Jesus was calling these two men to the world's best service, the greatest calling of all, and that is to be a fisher of men. Now, we know that this could not possibly have been a call to salvation. Do you remember some months back when we were in the Gospel of John in chapter 1? John the Baptist, we're told, had several students. Well, let's turn there for a moment. Turn to John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. John the Baptist was teaching his students or disciples, and his message was basically that Messiah is coming. He was the forerunner of the Messiah, announcing that the Messiah king was coming to Israel. And he was teaching this to his disciples, and it's likely, my guess is, it's not recorded in Scripture, but it's likely that his students believed what he was teaching. Well, they probably wouldn't have sat under his teaching. In verse 31, the Lord Jesus came on the scene, and John tells us that I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. When Jesus came to John the Baptist, John, even though they were related, he had not seen him since he was a child and wasn't able to identify the Lord Jesus now that he was a grown man. But John tells us that he was identified by the Father and the Holy Spirit at his baptism when the Spirit lighted upon him and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son." And we read also in verse 29, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Here's how John the Baptist identified the Lord Jesus to all who heard him, including his disciples, his students. He proclaimed to his students that this one that was identified by the Father and the Spirit at his baptism was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then in verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So think of how John the Baptist identified Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. And John knew that because the Father and the Spirit identified this person, Jesus Christ. And he is also here called the Son of God. That is a title for deity. And every Jew understood what he meant by that. And then in verse 35, it says, "And again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith to these two disciples, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they, these two disciples, followed Jesus." And who were these two disciples that now knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that now knew that Jesus was the Son of God? Well, in verse 40, we discover that one of those disciples was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And then in verse 41, we read that Andrew, when he discovered who the Messiah was, he ran to get his brother Simon Peter, and he said, "We found the Messiah." So Andrew and Peter, and this is about a year before Matthew 4, approximately. So a long time before the Lord Jesus called Peter and Andrew to follow him, they already understood that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. That he was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. That he was the Son of God. And they were called his disciples. And they followed him. So these two men were already followers of Jesus Christ. And it's likely that they were already believers. In fact, they were probably believers, we don't know for sure, but they may well have been believers before they ever met the Lord Jesus. They heard the ministry of John the Baptist, and they followed him and wanted, and they became his disciples. They were his students. Perhaps they were Old Testament saints and had already believed on God like Father Abraham and were justified by faith. We don't know. That's not recorded for us. But at least now we know in John 1, they were told that Jesus is the Lamb of God, he's the Son of God, and God the Father identified him as such. Now, all this took place early on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. This is right after his baptism. And then we saw in the Gospel of John, in the early days, as soon as Jesus entered into his ministry, he conducted his Judean ministry in the south. We know almost nothing about that, other than Jesus and John the Baptist simultaneously in different places, different parts of the Judean wilderness, were preaching. And then we're told that trouble arose for John and he was beheaded. And then the Lord Jesus, knowing that this was not his time to die and that was not his way to die, he left the southern part of the nation and headed north, and he stopped along the way in Samaria. And then he continued, had a short ministry there. He continued on to Cana. And from Cana, he went to Nazareth. And from Nazareth, he went to Capernaum. And back in Matthew chapter 4, that's where we see the Lord Jesus. Time has gone by. And as the Lord Jesus is walking along the beach in his new hometown in Capernaum, we're told in Matthew 4 and verse 19 that he spotted these two men, Peter and Andrew. These were not strangers. He had known them for at least a year. And he comes up to these two men in verse 19 and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, Matthew doesn't tell us anything about the information we just read in the Gospel of John. And sometimes when we're reading one of the Gospels without comparing Scripture with Scripture, sometimes we might get the wrong impression. For example, if you were just reading through the Gospel of Matthew, you might conclude upon reading verses 18 and 19 that Jesus came upon Peter and Andrew for the first time, cold turkey, total strangers, and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," and they followed him. That's not exactly how it happened. These were not total strangers. They were already his disciples. He had known them for quite some time. We read in the verse just prior to this, in verse 17, "And from that time began Jesus to preach." So what is taking place? Matthew is telling us that at this particular point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, in his Galilean ministry — he already had a ministry in the south — but in his Galilean ministry, Jesus began to preach. And when he began to preach, he wanted to take some students with him. He wanted to train some men for the ministry. He wanted to take some men under his wing, so to speak, on this evangelistic campaign with him. And the Lord Jesus knew that Peter and Andrew would be out in the sea at that time, on the seashore, taking care of their nets. The Lord Jesus knew right where to find them. And as he was walking along the beach that time, he spotted Andrew and his brother Peter and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." His students in Judea followed him originally. That's what John tells us. And then they were separated from the Lord Jesus for an undisclosed amount of time. Remember, Jesus left Judea. That's where he met Andrew and Peter. And then when John the Baptist was beheaded, the Lord Jesus started heading up north, and every indication is that he was by himself, so he was separated from these two men who began to follow him down in Judea. And they are reconnected in Galilee many months later. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, as he begins in earnest preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Galilee in the north, He calls these two men to a new level of discipleship, to learn new things, to be trained side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at their response to the call in verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Peter and Andrew responded in faith and obedience to the call for service. You know, teachers are constantly challenging students to new levels. A teacher, a good teacher, doesn't want their students to stay sort of stuck in a rut somewhere and not progress or not to grow. So the Lord Jesus was no different as a master teacher. He had already begun teaching these two men. He was separated from them for some time. And now he's beginning this evangelistic campaign up north, and he calls Peter and Andrew to a higher level, more dedicated sphere of ministry. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." These men were handpicked by the Lord Jesus for a very special ministry. They were going to work with the Lord Jesus side by side. They were going to follow him wherever he went. They were going to sit at his feet and learn every single day. And so the Lord Jesus was calling these men to a privileged position of service that no one had experienced before, not like this. No one ever had lived with the Messiah King and traveled with him and had been enrolled in his teaching program, so to speak, and being trained for this very special ministry. So Jesus called these men to follow him, and without any hesitation, they left their nets. Now, fishing was a very profitable business in those days. You could earn a good living, a better than average living, by catching fish. And here the Lord Jesus was calling these men to leave everything behind. Again, this was not cold turkey, a stranger out of nowhere, talking to two other total strangers. He knew them. And they knew him. And they loved the Lord. They loved hearing his teaching. And they wanted to be with him wherever he went. Now, these men had been his students for quite a while now, and they had grown and matured somewhat in their faith, and they had come to realize that true satisfaction in life comes from being with Jesus Christ. And they discovered in their earlier times with him that learning from him was more valuable than anything else in this old world. And Jesus saw something in them as well. Jesus, there were many fishermen there, and my guess is that there were many other students that Jesus had been teaching. But he had his eye on these men in particular. These men were handpicked for a very special ministry. And when they were chosen, when they were invited to follow him, it says immediately, straightway, they left everything behind and gladly left it behind. They didn't have to think twice about leaving it behind. They were thrilled. And you know, you might liken this to students, maybe high school students, going to a military prep school where they're being trained and hopefully they'll be accepted into the military someday. They were enrolled in early studies at a prep school, and they naturally wanted to do well so that hopefully they could go on to higher things in the military. Just imagine these two students in a military prep school getting a call from the president of West Point, personally inviting them into their top program because they saw something good in those two students. Now, of course, if you're going to go to West Point, you're going to have to leave your family behind. You're going to have to leave your friends behind. You're going to have to leave everything behind, your home, your friends, and going to West Point comes with a hefty price tag, too. But these young students would have jumped at the opportunity. They didn't have to think twice. Are you kidding? This is what they gave their lives to prepare for. And it was the same way when the Lord Jesus met that particular day when he came upon Peter and Andrew. He already knew them. They were already had some prep schooling, if you will. They were already eager to walk with the Lord and serve him in any way. And now the Lord Jesus was calling them particular to follow him wherever he went, so that they might be trained for higher forms of service. And they were thrilled. So they didn't have to pray about it for 2 weeks and get back to him. Immediately, they left their nets behind. Then we read also in this passage, look in verse 21. And going on from thence, he, the Lord Jesus, saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Now the Lord Jesus calls James and John, two other brothers, to leave everything behind and follow him. Now we have John chapter 1 that gives us some background concerning Peter and Andrew. We don't have a similar chapter giving us the background concerning James and John in any relationship that they had to the Lord Jesus. But my guess is that there was a previous relationship. It seems very unlikely that the Lord Jesus would walk up to two total strangers and say, "Follow me," and they had this lucrative business and said, "Oh, sure, we'll leave everything and follow you. Who are you, by the way?" And the fact that Matthew connected the call of Peter and Andrew to the call of James and John also seems to indicate that their callings were very similar. Jesus lived in Capernaum now, and so did James and John, or at least in the area somewhere. So maybe the Lord Jesus had already been talking with these men. Or maybe Peter and Andrew, who were disciples of the Lord Jesus and who fished side by side with these fishermen, had been talking with them. This was a big fishing town, but a relatively small community by today's standards. They very likely, especially from the same trade, fishing right next to each other on the same shore, knew each other. And they also are called to follow Jesus. And so at the very beginning, as the Lord Jesus in verse 17, as he began to preach in this Galilean evangelistic ministry, as the Lord Jesus began to preach, and this one day, he now has his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John. And we'll see this three, this very close-knit circle, this inner circle of disciples with the Lord Jesus on very wonderful occasions throughout the rest of the Gospels. So now the Lord Jesus has called to a very high position, to a form of ministry that was likened to being fishers of men. And obviously there was a purpose to this call. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he certainly didn't mean just they were going for a walk. The Lord Jesus had something important in mind. He wanted to train these men to be fishers of men in the same way they already knew how to fish fish in the sea. And while they were experienced fishermen, it probably took them some time to become experienced fishermen. It took some training to get to that point. And the Lord Jesus was now calling these men, and he wanted to teach them to be fishers of men. This was a call to gather in men spiritually in the same way physically they had been gathering in fish. Now, if these men were shepherds, the Lord Jesus perhaps would have called them to be shepherds with him and to gather in the lost sheep. But they were fishermen. And as we go through the rest of these Gospels, we want to keep in mind there was a dual-track ministry that the Lord Jesus had. In verse 17, he had a message for the nation. The message for the nation was, repent, change your mind. And if the nation was willing to change their mind, then God would send the kingdom in the person of Jesus Christ, and the earthly messianic mediatorial kingdom would have been established right then and there, if the nation would simply repent. And God had a plan for Israel. Jesus also had a ministry to the individual souls of individual men, as he did to Nicodemus, when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so the Lord Jesus wanted to challenge men to personal salvation. And just think, if the nation didn't repent, the only way anybody could enter into the kingdom is if they were born again. So there is this dual-track ministry taking place throughout the Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew highlights the message of the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel and the message to the nation. The Gospel of John highlights the message of the Lord Jesus in his ministry to individuals and the salvation of their souls. And when we confuse these two different missions, these two different tracks, and when we blend together the message of the Lord Jesus to the nation of Israel with the message to an individual to believe and be saved and to be born again, we really confuse the gospel. And we want to avoid that. On the one hand, the Lord was calling the kingdom to repent, and the kingdom would have been established. But he was also preaching to the souls and hearts of men, like the woman at the well, like Nicodemus and so many others, and letting them know that they needed to be born again. Our Reformed brethren look at a passage such as Matthew 4:17 and see only salvation and ignore the message to the nation. And we as dispensationalists can go and make error in another direction as well. We can see in this passage the ministry that the Lord had to the nation of Israel and ignore the salvation of the souls of individuals. And we don't want to err in either way. Jesus was calling these men to follow him, to be trained as his disciples. And he wanted to teach them to be fishers of men. And that's because the Lord Jesus himself was a fisher of men. We read in Luke chapter 19, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. It's one of the reasons he came, to save the lost. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in that context, he was speaking about individuals who needed to believe and be saved. In fact, at his birth, we're told that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. He came to be the Savior. He came to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as he spoke to the woman at the well, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus was ministering to that woman's soul. She needed to be saved, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had a ministry and a mission to individuals all along the way. Simultaneously, he had a ministry to the nation of Israel. And we don't want to ignore either one. Jesus desired to train men to preach the gospel. to draw men in, these fishermen, to use the illustration, to draw men in to faith to Christ in the same way that these fishermen were accustomed to drawing in fish. God wanted people in his day to believe on Jesus Christ. And that's why John the Baptist introduced Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when Andrew discovered who he was, he ran to find his brother and says, "We found the Messiah." Now, in that day, if a person believed on Jesus Christ, remember this is before the cross, if a person believed on Jesus Christ, they would be saved, just like Father Abraham. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to die on the cross and be raised again the third day and ascend into heaven and become the head of the body, the church. They didn't know that. Just like Father Abraham in the Old Testament, it says he believed on the Lord and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In every age, salvation has always been by grace through faith. And so during the gospel period, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believed that he was the Messiah King, the Son of God sent from the Father, they were saved. And now Jesus wanted to train Peter and Andrew and James and John, and with that four, he had his three from the inner circle, to train these men for full-time ministry to learn how to fish men as well as they fished for fish. And by the way, the training these men received from the Lord Jesus, this would put them in good stead, even after the cross. Because the Lord knew the response that the nation of Israel would give him with respect to his offer of the kingdom. And the men that he was training, this inner circle and the 12, the apostles, except for Judas, the Lord Jesus was training these disciples for a very special ministry. And the ministry of these men, these 12 men, would overlap two dispensations. Originally, he was training them to prepare men's hearts to enter into the kingdom as he offered the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And they were to train and to point men to Christ, to Jesus as the Messiah King, to get the nation ready to receive their Messiah King and enter into the kingdom. And that training took place within the confines of Israel. They were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they were not to go beyond the confines of Israel. They were not to be preaching to Gentiles, but to Israel only. This was their kingdom, and if they were born again, they could enter into it, if only the nation would repent. And so what a wonderful ministry and mission the Lord Jesus had with these men to train them to be fishers of men, to gather in souls for the kingdom. And while they were learning how to gather in souls and point men to Christ, they were also, unbeknown to them at the time, being trained to become fishers of men in a dispensation that would soon be revealed, the church age. So when the Lord Jesus called these men to follow him, and he wanted to teach them to be fishers of men, this was a privileged position. They had a ministry to Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel exclusively, but after the cross, they would be sent out unto the uttermost parts of the earth with the message of the same Messiah King, but now he died for the sins of the world, and he shed the blood of the new covenant that paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world, and now the message was to go out unto the uttermost parts of the earth, and guess who God was going to use? The very same 12 men that Jesus began to prepare to teach to be fishers of men. The Lord Jesus knew the response of Israel. And here we have men, disciples of Israel, disciples of the Messiah King, who would soon become the apostles of the church, the foundation of the church. Of course, the disciples knew nothing of this at this point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know the future, but Jesus Christ did. And the Lord Jesus was going to train these men. They would have training like no one else on earth has ever had. To spend the next few years, day in and day out, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, being taught of Him. And while the Lord Jesus is in heaven today, and while we're no longer able to sit at His feet literally, while no one is able to literally follow the Lord Jesus from city to city and be trained of Him, the head still ministers to His body today. And we still have the will of God. In fact, we have much more than even the disciples did during the gospel period. And as we get into the church age, we discover that we too are to be fishers of men. That God doesn't use angels to send the gospel message out. He uses human beings just like you and me. And there is no higher calling in the world today than to be a fisher of men. And so the Lord Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John on that day. But you know, there were a few other callings. There was that initial calling in John chapter 1 when Peter and Andrew became disciples of Jesus, and then we're told they followed Him. And then we have this second calling in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, where they were called to a very special ministry to follow the Lord in this Galilean ministry, this mission campaign, if you will. And then evidently, sometime after that ministry was over, they returned to their fishing boats, to their fishing business. And we'll see later on in John chapter 5, the Lord calling Peter and Andrew a third time to follow Him on a more permanent basis. And then finally we see in Matthew chapter 10, when the Lord gathered all 12 of His disciples, and this final calling, when He would give them supernatural powers to heal the sick and to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And He sent them out two by two to preach in various cities. So there were different callings that these men received of the Lord. It was a call to service, a call to ministry, a call to a specific ministry. It was not a call to salvation. Each time the Lord Jesus called these men to follow Him, He was teaching them to be better equipped to be fishers of men. This was sort of a continuing education program that the Lord Jesus had established with His 12 apostles. And you know, when you enroll to be a disciple in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no end of learning. And in fact, I'm convinced that even in eternity, we're going to be learning to be better students of Jesus Christ, to know Him more and more throughout all eternity. We will never exhaust the person of Jesus Christ. And yet in our day and age, we have a ministry. We don't sit at His feet literally, but we can sit in His Word. And we can bring this message out to others who desperately need to hear, except a man be born again, he won't enter into the kingdom of God. We have a message to preach to people all around us. It would be a shame to have the skill of a fisherman, to have a net capable of catching many fish, and just let it sit on the shore and rot. God has a purpose for us being in the world. God wants us, too, to be fishers of men. Let's be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for how You worked in the life of the apostles, how You drew them to Yourself and You called them and taught them and instructed them and equipped them to serve You. And Lord, we pray that as we study Your Word, as we seek to know You in a deeper way, Father, we pray that You might be equipping us to be witnesses and testimonies in the world around us. And Lord, give us opportunities to share the gospel that we might point men to the Savior. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.